following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
I told you. I told your chump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
wrong way.
You're going
the wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Tucson in the backfield with Gardner. He's got the snap. Five-man rush. He fires, and it's intercepted at the goal line by Ohio State's Tyvus Powell. And the Buckeyes are going to win it.
OH! Dude, you know what I thought of on that play?
Stop.
I said to myself,
stop! You can't do that.
I can't do what?
When I say OH, it is law. You have to say IO.
Well, look, dude, I am not going to say that.
Don't
I am
you
not
going to
say that.
Don't you know when somebody says OH, you go IO?
Well, no. I will not do that. When I say we are, what are you going to say?
Fuck you.
See, there you go. Speaking of fuck you, what the hell was Michigan thinking? I mean, I don't blame them for going for two. I really don't. You know what? You might as well give it a shot. But why do you throw it to freaking little cousin It there? That dude is like 4'3".
I know, but look what he did the whole game.
I know, but you know when you're going to run a bunch formation right at three guys that are fucking twice his size, you got to at least break. I'll tell you what, if he throws it to the outside, that's a score. If he throws it to the outside, did the guy break into the flag, that's a score.
I thought they were going to get it.
Of course you did. You were chewing your nails.
When they said they're going for two, first I thought, they're not really going to do it. They're trying to get Ohio State to waste a timeout. And so Ohio State called timeout. And then they're like, oh, they're going to send the kicker out now? And I went, yeah, I knew it. And then, no, they're going for it. And I went, oh, my God, they're going to ruin everything.
Here, I'll show you this exchange on Facebook the other day. Chip, gee, Tom looks like he's probably going to be chewing his nails right now from me. He hasn't answered a text all afternoon. Next three, LOL, LOL, LOL. I'll tell you what, man. I thought, okay, Ohio State had it under control, and Michigan stormed back again. So,
well, we're going to get into all of this. I'm Tom. He's John.
What's up, guys? It's John Tilliard here, and you are listening to Bang Radio Hour number 237. Yeah. You know, on the basis of the officials missing that obstruction call by Mike Tomlin on Thanksgiving night, and then denying the Steelers a touchdown because the guy's helmet came off, and then all the nonsense with the Redskins thinking they had a first down on Sunday night. NFL officials, stay off the weed!
Weed!
Stay off of it.
Dude, all of the officials need to get on something, man. They can't do what they're doing.
You can't stay off the weed!
By the way, where was John taping that from deep within Her Majesty's deep sea space station testing facilities way down here at the bottom of the ocean?
I don't know. It reminded me of an old cassette recorder I had in 1979. That's what it sounded like.
Probably what he had. He had, oh, dang it, somebody hand me a pencil. I've got to rewind this.
Right.
Shit, man. I'll tell you what, the refs don't know what the hell they're doing, but this is a weekly broken record.
I know, man. I'm so tired of it. I'm over it.
They're eventually going to break a record for fuck-ups this year.
You know what I'm really tired of? I'm tired of every time a great play happens, I wait to celebrate and go, wait, are there any flags? The announcers do it. How? I mean, we hear it all the time, and there's no flags.
Dude, They started it. Look, way back when we first started doing this show, and even before that, when I first started talking football with you, I said, this is terrible. Joe Theismann was on Monday Night Football back then, and every goddamn time there was a friggin' play, Joe Theismann would say, oh, wait, hold on. Let's see if he's got complete, I don't know. It looks like his fingers touched one of the blades of grass. And he would make this shit happen. And I remember I used to scream all the time, he can't do that. He's influencing the coaches as to whether or not to throw the flags out there and stop the game. Dude, every time they put a new rule in place, these guys get worse and worse and worse and worse.
I know. All right, well, coming up, the referee revolution continues, as we just mentioned. John, you gotta stretch your balls.
You gotta
do that. Smooting, we've got smooting as well. Wait till you hear about all of this. Okay. But let's stick with college football for the moment, because there was another game right after the Ohio State game. Now, yes, I didn't text. I didn't. I wasn't. I didn't even think my phone was in the room, same room with me. Because see, what I like to do,
he threw it out the window, folks.
I can't do it really on Sundays, except for like the Sunday night game and the Monday night game, and the Thursday night game. I like to DVR the game,
right,
when it starts, and then I just hit the pause button. You know, right. And I'm DVRing in case something goes wrong with the pause or right. whatever, and I want to rewind and look at stuff. And then usually we'll watch a TV show that we've got DVR'd that we haven't watched yet, you know, while we get mm-hmm. into, so mm-hmm. that way I can fast forward through the commercials.
Right.
So, you know, here I am, the game's been on for, I don't know, hour and a half, but I've only been watching for like 20 minutes, and you're texting me. Well, I can't look at the text.
Oh, you're right. I see what you're saying. He had to watch Downton Abbey, ladies and gentlemen. He had to watch and see what was going to happen.
Right, exactly. So I just I leave my phone in the other room, and I don't even bother because I'm not going to look at text. I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah, I can't text him during soap opera time. Right. He's watching The Good Wife, everybody. Don't put the phone in the other room. Spock the game. We can DVR the game. I've got to see what happens.
It's just something to get, just something to pass time. I mean, maybe I'm playing Candy Crush Saga. Who knows?
That's pretty good.
Anyway, right.
so yeah, I see why.
So, you know, by the time I get to the end of the game, I've caught up. So now I'm watching that final ending live, and right. and it ends. And as soon as the game ends, my wife and kids and I, we all went to see the new Hunger Games movie, because I'll tell you something, when a Buckeye yep. game ends, right at that moment when the game ends is the best time to go to the movie theater, because it's dead.
Yeah, in I guess town. So. Everybody's out partying.
Right. In this town, the movie theater's dead. Now, if the Buckeyes yeah. lose, it's amazing how crowded the movie theaters get, because people want to take their mind off the game.
Well, that's been a while.
It's a couple of years, you know, since that happened. But anyway, so as soon as the game ends, we go to the movie theater to see The Hunger Games, the second one. Excellent, excellent movie. But here's the thing. Now, I don't know the last time you were in like a new movie theater, but this particular theater we went to.
It ain't been that long, Tom. You know, we get uptown once again.
Well, what I mean is the one that we went to, this one in the concession area, they have a liquor license now.
Okay.
They said they've got bars set up with high def televisions, and you can sit down at the bar and have a drink. Well, when we come
while
out,
while you're watching the movies,
or just, no, that's or like the TV while, on TV. While you're waiting or afterwards, whatever. But when the movie ends, we come out into that lobby, into that concession area. Oh my God, the Alabama Auburn game is at the end of the game.
Oh, shit.
And everybody in this theater is drinking and cheering, and they're, you know, rooting for Auburn. And I'm like, am I in a movie theater? Wait, where the hell? Right. I'm like, this is a sports bar all of a sudden, you know?
Right.
And, you know, and of course, you know what happened at the end of the game. And I mean, it was yeah. crazy. This movie theater, everybody in this movie theater is going insane. Auburn just beat Alabama, you know?
Yeah, so, no kidding. That's great. Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So speaking of that game and that final play, it's interesting when you listen to the difference in hearing mm-hmm. the play call on Alabama radio compared to hearing it on yeah. Auburn radio. So here's the call on Alabama's radio network.
Cody Mandel spots it. Kick on the way. It's got leg. It is sailing. It is short. It is grabbed about 8 yards deep in the end zone. Brought back to the near side. Run down the near sideline. There's nobody there for Alabama. Auburn's going to win. Auburn is going to win the Iron Bowl on a one.
on a run back, John. You know who started that was the Ravens. What's his name? Started that for the Ravens.
Who? The other night? Jacoby Jones?
No. I'm talking about several years ago.
I don't know, man. He got the ball.
Was it Ed Reed that did it?
Did what?
Had like 100, 800, 9 yard return for touchdown on the short field goal. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Somebody may have done it before that, but he's the first one I remember doing it.
It's short. He caught it. He turns left. He runs up. He turns right. He runs up. He turns to the side. Runs. He looked. Oh shit! We're fucked. Here we're fucked. We're fucked. Oh fuck! We're fucked.
All right. It sounded a little different on Auburn radio.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 10. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Holy moly.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That's
pretty
good.
I'll tell you what, man. I have never seen a game end like that. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah, and one more piece of audio from the end of that play. The Ohio State Buckeyes, of course, they're on their bus, you know.
Right.
And they're watching, and somebody was recording as they were watching the end of the game, and when he scored and Auburn won, this is what happened. It's very, very similar to what I heard at the movie theater, actually.
Sounds a bit like my helicopter when we land on the ground next to the INS building.
You are unbelievable. Jesus.
Well, I tell you what, they're hollering for nothing because I got to tell you.
What?
I know you're all hot and trot ready to go your friggin' national championship here, but I don't know. Not so sure I agree with it.
You don't think we're going to beat Michigan State?
Well, for one thing, there's that possibility most for certain. That's for sure. They have a real defense, and that is unlike everybody you've played this year. They've got a defense. And I know that Ohio State's put up a shitload of points, but I think, first off,
real quick, before we get onto that about Michigan State, yes.
What?
That is a legit defense.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the best offense they faced, and they have never seen an offensive line like this one. This Ohio State offensive line, John. Our defense has issues, but this offense and that veteran line is amazing.
Well, I tell you what, man. It's not like you're going to be out there pushing around Indiana this week.
No, we'll probably only win, 28, 35 to 14 or 21, something like that.
All right, well, see there. That's why I think first, Florida State, they're number one.
Yeah.
All right, there's no doubt there, right?
And you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Florida State's number one.
Okay.
Right? They've beaten three top 25 teams. They blew out Clemson. They blew out Miami. Both of them were top 10.
Miami was. You can't go by what they were. You have to go by what
they were at the
are.
Time.
Doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying.
That doesn't matter.
Well, but at the time that they played them, it does matter.
No.
I mean, Northwestern was 16 when Ohio State beat them. What are they now, like 24?
Yeah, and then they lost seven in a row. So did Ohio State beat the number 16 team? Hell no.
Well, no, but at the time they were number 16. So you got to look at that anyway.
The rankings don't look at that. They look at where they are now.
The computer? I'm sorry. I mean, look, I have already dropped down my level of football. I've deigned to discuss this in the matter of who could beat who based on what they've done already. That's bad enough. They're not going to play it out on the field. Auburn doesn't deserve to be number three, even though they beat Alabama. Alabama was number one, right?
Yeah.
All right, so they dropped three spots on a fluke play? I don't think so. I don't think that says that Auburn's better than Alabama because they beat Auburn on a fluke play.
Of course not. But, hey, look, number five and number six seeds have won the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean they were the best team of the year.
Well, I know, but we don't get that opportunity to have that happen here, okay? But I think if we're talking about rankings, I don't think Auburn belongs at number three in argument for the championship game because I think it should be Alabama and Florida State. I think that's the best two teams in the country.
Okay, and Florida State, Let's talk about them first.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. First off, let's say Ohio State. You're saying Ohio State hasn't played anybody, right?
No, they've played who they've got to play on their schedule, and they've whomped everybody. I mean,
they haven't played anybody, is what I mean. Yes, they've played teams, but you know what I'm saying.
They've given up a lot of points to some schmucks.
Okay, but what are you when we talk about when we say a team hasn't played anybody? What are we basing that on? How are we justifying that? By because of ranked teams, right?
Okay, no. Well, conference teams have to play conference teams, okay? I'm talking about the level of your cream pufferies there, and everybody plays their cream puffs.
Sure.
So really, when you get right down to it, it's better, I guess, strength of conference, because definitely the Big Ten is not as strong as the SEC. I'm sorry, but it's just not.
Okay, based on what?
Well, based on the strength of the teams that play within the conferences against
each
other.
And how do we determine the strength of those teams?
Just get to your point. I'm not playing any stupid. Come on, what are you going to say here?
You got to say it. It's based on the rankings. You just got through talking about, well, you played number 16 Northwestern, and Florida State played number whatever Clemson, and number 10 Miami. Okay. So we're basing this on rankings. That's how we determine it, right?
No, I'm not basing it on rankings because I think a better team is at number four right now. But what I'm basing that on is overall performance. All right, overall performance. Both of them have, on average, they win their games by, on average, 30 points. Both of them.
Okay.
Right? Alabama and Ohio State.
Okay.
On average. They've had blowouts, and they both have them close. Ohio State, they've given up more than 20 points 7 times, and I think Alabama's only done it twice.
Okay.
All right. Against strong teams. I mean, 35 points to Illinois, 34 points to Cal, 41 points to Michigan.
You're saying strong teams. What are you basing that on?
I'm basing that on the overall strength of the football team. I think that if you go against each other head-to-head based on how I look at overall which team is stronger, who's better at each position, I think overall the strength in the SEC is better. That's what I'm saying. I think that a game against Tennessee is a more powerful opponent than a game against Illinois. Could rack them up head to head.
All right, because I've seen Tennessee get crushed by some by unranked teams.
Okay, but we're not talking about Tennessee.
Well, that's what
so
you
why
just,
do you,
you
think
just
that Ohio State belongs there and not Alabama? Is it the one loss?
Well, I mean, you know, in the NFL, if you win more games than the other team in your division or the other team in the conference, you get a higher seed because you won more games. Well, you didn't play the same schedule, though.
Okay.
I mean, how else do we determine it? Is that it? We just sit in a chair and go, well, this team's better, so they get to go.
Isn't that what they've been doing?
Yeah. Isn't that what we complain about? But that's what you're sitting here doing.
I know. I got no choice.
But they do it. But when you listen to them talk about it, they say this team's played a tougher schedule. Well, what do you mean? How do you know they played a tougher schedule? That the teams they beat haven't played against the teams we beat. So how do you know? Well, because this team's ranked here, and this team's ranked here, and this team's ranked here. Well, I love that argument because it makes no sense. And the reason it doesn't is because you tell me, well, they've played a tougher schedule because they've played these teams, number 10, number 16, they beat number 8, yada, yada, yada. Well, by saying that, they give credit to those rankings. They're saying these rankings are justified, and this is how I determine when a team has played a tougher schedule. Well, those same rankings, those same people that are voting, that are saying that team is 16, that team is 10, that team is 8, are saying Ohio State is 2. So you can't say those rankings are right for them, but not right for Ohio State.
Ohio State's number 2. There, I said it.
Okay, now let's get back to Florida State, because you're telling me that you believe Florida State deserves to be number 1.
Yes, I do. 650 points to practically, dude. They've only given up 130 points.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Right.
Now, strength of schedule. Strength of schedule. Ohio State strength of schedule is 61. I know that's not good. They're the 61st toughest schedule in the country. Guess what, John? Florida State is the 66th toughest schedule in the country.
Okay, but all right, look, they've got a much bigger margin of victory on average. They've got a 43 point average margin of victory.
Oh,
right, as opposed to 30.
Okay.
There's 2 touchdowns. That's a difference. All right, if you're going to go against, if you're going to take 2 undefeated teams that have arguably the same intangibles, all right, which with strength of schedule and all that other things like that, you got to find some line of demarcation. 644 points over 132 points is pretty fucking big.
You can't go by, well, this team won by an average of 38 points, and this team only won by an average of 33 points.
No, but you can look at that as part of your argument. You can look at that as part of your picture.
No, I disagree, because I want, well, then let's go back. Then you got to go back game by game and show me at what point did Florida State put in their backup quarterback, their third string. Because when we had blowouts, our number three quarterback was scoring touchdowns. Okay.
Florida State's been doing this with a quarterback that's been accused of rape. That's all I got to say. And you guys lost on a two-point conversion attempt that was choked on by throwing it to a midget by a team that even Penn State, with Hackenberg, the true freshman quarterback, rolled. And that's good enough for me. See, that's all I get this year in college football. Okay. That's all I'm boiling it down to. That's all I get this year, man. We whooped up on Michigan. I'm happy.
All I know is Ohio State had a tougher schedule than Florida State. That's what I know.
All right, well, I will say this. Unless Michigan State steps up, they're probably going to get to settle it.
Yeah, I know.
What's it in this year? Is it in the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl or what?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope it's in the Rose Bowl. That would be nice.
I thought it was in the Rose Bowl last year.
Maybe it was. I just hope it's maybe hopefully it'll be Phoenix then, because God, if it's in Florida, that's so unfair.
Oh, wouldn't that suck for you?
Well, that's how it usually is. It's like when we had to play LSU in the national championship, it was in fucking New Orleans.
New Orleans, right.
I mean, come on, really?
You're going to get them Florida refs with them Florida accents. Believe you me.
I'm watching Ohio State last week, and it friggin' snow and cold, windy. Oh, my God. It was horrible out. And I'm looking at these damn, you know, Florida State and Alabama playing in nice. I'm like, I would just love to see them have to come up here and play in this weather a couple of times. Let's see how they play in this weather.
Where did you play when Miami won?
When Miami won what?
Didn't Miami beat you guys on, like, the last play in overtime?
No, we beat them in Arizona.
That's right. Where was that? In Arizona. That was a fiesta.
And then Florida, we played the Florida Gators in the national championship in the fucking Orange Bowl.
Cry me a river, Holmes. I don't want to fucking hear it. Seriously. My team's not allowed to even go to a bowl. I'm surprised they're even going to let them have it on TV in the door.
I know, but come on, man. I mean, Florida in the national championship is in Florida. LSU in the national championship in New Orleans. Really? I mean, seriously, come on.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Jesus. We was analyzing some football, man. That felt good. I tell you what, that's probably the most we've analyzed football on this show in the last 2 years.
It might be. So anyway, you know what? Here's the thing. If you don't like it, I don't care. I'm not apologizing. What? I'm supposed to apologize because Ohio State has won 24 games in a row?
We ain't going to apologize. You know that's how you get in trouble.
That's right.
That's how the I-Man got in trouble.
I'll tell you what. Here's somebody that owes an apology. On Saturday, after Auburn beat Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm.
36-year-old Michelle Shepherd of Birmingham, Alabama.
Got dang right. Roll Tide.
You know, there she is. Born and raised in Alabama. She's a diehard Bama fan. She's at a party with other Bama fans. They're watching the game. And here's 28-year-old Adrian Brisky. She's a Bama fan. She's watching the game. Well, the game ends. And Michelle, the 36-year-old from Birmingham, joked around and said that the loss to Auburn did not hurt as badly as when she watches her Miami Heat lose an NBA game.
I bet this gonna hurt you, stupid bitch. Pow!
It wasn't a punch, John. Adrian went into a rage, okay?
Rage.
She did. She started screaming at Michelle, told Michelle she was not a real Alabama fan. She was pissed. John, she pulled out a gun and shot her dead. Shot her dead because she said that Miami Heat losing a game hurt worse than Alabama Crimson Tide losing a football game.
I think so. There's a country music song in this here, Tom. Shot her dead because she didn't like Bama. Shot her dead because she didn't like Bama. Shot her dead because she didn't like Bama. The tattooed bitch from hell.
This is terrible. They had never even met before. Michelle, she was the mother of three children, leaves behind three kids, because she said that Miami losing the game hurt worse than Bama losing the game. What's the matter with you people?
Look, I gotta think the girl with the gun might have a bit of a point. She shouldn't have shot her, but she had every right to smack that bitch in the head for saying something as stupid as that. Who gives a shit about the NBA?
Jesus.
I'm serious. Well, hey, look, last time, how long ago, what was it, last year that they killed the trees, right? That asshole freaking poisoned the trees, right?
Right.
And now this. So, yeah, roll tide. Roll tide. Oh, see God. What happens? Bear Bryant dies and it goes to hell in about 3 decades.
Let's get a little perspective here, people. I got, yeah. You know, alcohol had to be involved, right?
Dude, this is why I don't go to sports events anymore. I mean, other than the fact that it's $200 to go to a goddamn football game. But Jesus Christ, there's so many angry people out there. And I mean angry, angry, angry people. And they get alcohol in them and then they do dumb shit like this because somebody's goofing around at a fucking party. It's mind-boggling. Everybody thinks that out in Kansas City, some dude got there was a murder in the parking lot after the
yeah,
Chiefs-Broncos
game. That had nothing to do with football, right. And being fans.
And it wasn't even a murder. I mean, technically, I guess they're going to get this guy with manslaughter, but the dude had a heart attack while he was breaking into somebody's car. But, you know, that's the thing, man. Everybody's so quick to believe, A, it's a big fight, for one, because they know how much it happens. It's crazy, man. So
Everybody just needs to stretch their balls a little, John.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's everybody's problem, man. Everybody's wearing these tight, skinny jeans, all you young people. You can't hold your alcohol because you got nowhere to put it.
Well, I mean, we had the Seahawks playing the Saints Monday night, and there was a delay in the fourth quarter, and I love Ed Hockley comes out and explains why there was a delay.
We didn't let the team go because we were stretching our balls.
They were stretching their balls, John.
Now, see... See, this showed up on Deadspin.
Right? I know.
That they were stretching their balls. And I thought to myself, how corny. Everybody that knows anything about football knows they're never going to say that. So somebody put it up on our Facebook page and I yelled at him about it. So now here it is on the show.
We didn't let the team go because we were stretching our balls.
Hey, you know, you got to stretch them once in a while. You just got to do it.
It's Hockley. He might have been.
Right.
He might have been over there, you know. Hey, ladies, watch this. Let me show you something. Watch me when I call a penalty later. I'm going to wink at you.
Hey, here's something for you. The Seahawks. Uh-huh. The Seattle Seahawks. All right.
Best team in the league.
Unbeatable at home. Without a question, yeah. At home, yeah. They are probably one of the best teams of the past 10 years when it comes to playing at home.
They're going to piss off the gods, dude. They are going to piss off the fucking gods.
Well.
Telling you what.
Now they're going to get the home field.
Yeah,
their ticket. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Dude, in the NFC Championship, that place is going to get so loud. They've already caused seismic tremors.
Oh,
right?
That was like a 1-2 on the Richter scale. I was like, really? Are you serious?
Dude, they're on the Ring of Fire. They're like right on the edge of it. There's volcanoes all over the place. It runs right down the coast. They're going to misplace this one tiny little rock that's 20 miles offshore. And the whole goddamn California is going to fall into the friggin' sea. Oregon's going to explode. That giant caldera in Yosemite is going to go off and kill everybody because of you friggin' Seahawk fans and your goddamn super stadium. You and your 12th man. I hope you choke on it.
Okay, man.
They are good, aren't they? I tell you what, it's fun to watch a team that knows how to play defense. You know,
right.
You watch those plays with Sherman trailing his cornerback, man. And he makes these awesome plays with his hands, and they don't call any flags on him. And you go, like you said earlier, when there's a great play, you wonder why there's no flag. Well, that goes triple when the defense makes a play. You know, there's got to be a flag, right? Because not only are you expecting it, but the receiver's jumping up, pulling the imaginary flag out of his pants after every frickin' play. So... when he makes a play, I feel like cheering for him because it's like, yeah, brother, you beat the system. You beat it. You did it. Not only could he cover him, but he freaking beat the ref.
Well, here's the thing. Now, we know the Seahawks, they win, but they don't play as well on the road.
No, because they got to come down out of their mountain stronghold.
Well, and it seems like the farther east they come, you know, the harder they have it. It's tougher for them to win. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, John.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl. It's in right. New York City this year.
And it's going to be like fucking 5 degrees.
It could be, John, it could be 20 below. You don't know. It might be it might be 30 degrees out, but it might be 20 below zero.
It might be 74 degrees and sunny. We don't know.
We don't, but it could be goddamn cold. And, you know, I just wonder, playing if it's real cold and they have to travel that far, man, are we going to get... I don't know. Huh? You know?
I see. You know what? It used to be that you could say, and I used to say it all the time, that a 1 o'clock start on the East Coast and they were just as dead as can be. And they've beaten that for the last 2 years. They'll travel early for a Super Bowl. They'll get there a week ahead of time. I don't think that the time change will matter at all. I think that how many of their fans can travel with them, that might make some kind of difference. But considering that so much of it up there is high-tech money, there's probably plenty of them that can afford the ridiculously high-priced ticket that it's going to be.
Yeah, but aren't they? Don't you think they're going to be playing Denver? I guess it could. Well, I don't know. Hell, I guess you never count out New England, right?
No, you can't count out New England. I'm afraid you can't count out Kansas City either, man. I know that they got beat last week, and they got beat again. Manning, you know, beat them up this week.
Oh, I'm counting Kansas City out. I'm counting them out.
I don't know, man. What do they say? Defense, right? Defense wins championships. Yeah, and of the teams that we're talking about, they got it.
Based on who have they played, John?
Why? Yeah. Everybody on their schedule. Let me look at the rankings here, Tom.
Right.
Besides, but, hey, they've got extra bonuses because Andy Reid is not above farting on the opposing quarterback.
That's right.
Hey, come here. Come here, Manning. Let me show you something.
Can you imagine, once a fart gets up where Manning's head is, Christ, it's got to be really well spread out. I bet if you sack Manning, do you see tracks on his forehead from like mountain sheep and shit like that running up and down his head?
Oh, man. All right, let's go to break, and we still got a lot to get to, so let's get to break and get back. We've got to talk about Fred Smoot and Steve Smith, and there's still a lot to get to.
Bang Radio.
This is it right here. Gensel ready. The snap's good. The hold.
Oh, kick! Oh!
The kick is
good!
Oh! The Mountaineers have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines!
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We couldn't stop the run.
You suck!
This is absolutely unbelievable.
This is not just probably the worst loss of the Lloyd Carr era. It could arguably be the worst loss in Michigan history.
S-U-C-K-E-D sucks.
You know, terrible that you can't get prepared for, you know, what you call a cupcake game, and you let a team like that come in the big house and, you know, whoop up on you. And I think it's just a disgrace to the Big Ten.
Lloyd Carr is not producing. Enough is enough, man. He's not going to get fired. But I wish he had the decency to resign.
Feel like I'm dreaming or something because we just beat Michigan.
That was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. In my opinion, that sucked.
You guys suck!
I mean, it's absolutely pitiful to perform like that. Pitiful.
Damn right.
We just were not a well-prepared football team, and that's my responsibility.
You suck!
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
The two women came out of the bathroom. There was a blonde and a brunette. A woman behind me said something smart to the effect of, why did you guys take so long? And the blonde woman hit me in the face. I was just in shock that I would never in my life hit somebody. It was a bad scene.
Yesterday, two Carolina Panther cheerleaders were engaging in sexual activity inside a bathroom stall when they became entangled in a catfight with a third woman. Both cheerleaders were arrested and spent the night in a women's prison. We here at the NFL would just like to say, awesome. The NFL. You ain't gonna see crazy-ass stuff like that in baseball.
Hi, this is Savannah Sampson from Vivid Pictures, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Manning and Decker, for the fourth time today, have connected for a Broncos touchdown. Big, big win for the Broncos as they've come to Arrowhead and beaten the Chiefs. Final score, Denver 35, Kansas City 28.
On the near hash for the win. Kick away, and it is good.
and Atlanta wins. For the third time this year, the Falcons have come away victorious.
Snap spot, right-footed kick is up, and it is a walk-off winner for Blair Walsh. And the Minnesota Vikings have defeated the Chicago Bears 23-20.
Here's Wheaton. He's going to launch it. It's going down towards the goal line. Gordon's back there, and it's knocked down by the Jaguars.
That is the end of the game.
And they beat the Browns today.
After a 95-yard touchdown pass. You lose after a 95-yard touchdown pass. That's like a kick in the gut.
Oh. Josh Gordon. 200 yards. Gordon, yeah. Josh Gordon is a friggin' stud.
Mm-hmm.
First player in NFL history to have over 200 yards receiving in back-to-back games. Can you believe it's a Cleveland Brown breaking that record?
He got a great block on that 95-yard one, man.
He did.
A good crack block. That was nice. I'll tell you what, man. The Vikings, how close did they come to tying again for the second straight week?
I know. 4 minutes.
How has that even ever happened? Tilliard asked that on the page. Has that even ever happened in the modern era since overtime began?
That,
I don't know.
That one team has tied 2 weeks in a row. I bet it hasn't. I would say no.
If it has, it was back in the days when, you know, Philadelphia was winning championships. Oh, bang, zoom, ba-ba-ba-doo.
Right now, there's a bunch of Philadelphia fans going, championships?
Shit, they're ready to try to win a division again.
I'll tell you, a team is trying to win a championship, and that's the Carolina Panthers, man. And I cannot wait to see them go at it with New Orleans this coming week.
That's going
to
be you know, I hate to sound all cliche and all, but which New Orleans Saints team shows up? Because it was clear to me last night that they got beat around. It wasn't necessarily that they had a bad night. Every time they even caught the ball underneath, which was all they were catching last night, they got tackled instantly.
Oh, I'm giving all credit to the Seahawks, man.
One-on-one tackles. I tell you what, I got to go look up and see who the Seahawks defensive backs coach is and who their linebackers coach is, because they tackle so cleanly and so hard immediately.
Imagine that. Imagine
as a Redskins fan, can't you tell how in awe I am of the most fundamental shit that there is on fucking defense?
Take note, the rest of the NFL. Watch them. Learn how to tackle. It doesn't involve grabbing somebody by the shoulder pads or even worse, just hitting them.
Dude, they hit hard, man. And they hit down by the waist and right in the ribs. They hit hard.
Well, that's just it. And they wrap up.
Right. Right. With single fucking tackles. Individuals taking down running. It's nice. It's nice. Fucking hate them.
That's why they're 11-1.
God, fucking hate them.
But anyway, back to the Panthers. The Panthers tackle too. They will hit you.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. I do recall saying so in the first podcast of the year that I was really impressed with this Luke Kuechly fella.
Yeah.
And that dude is definitely nasty, bad, nasty. Maybe all pro.
Now, what do you think about Steve Smith? Is he a badass? Because I'm looking at this guy going, man, this guy's a fire plug. I'm sitting there talking about him last week. Man, this guy's tough as nails.
I think he's Hall of Fame. How about that?
Well, Fred Smoot disagrees with you.
I guess so.
But I don't know if it's because Fred actually disagrees or if he just got mad at what Steve Smith said on the Mike and Mike show. Let's go here. Here's Mike and Mike. They had Steve Smith on. And, you know, of course, last week he had the whole thing with Aqib Talib from the Patriots, which that was the best part of that entire game when Carolina beat them. You know what he told him?
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Right. Don't need to leave the ice up.
He asked him what he thought about it. He says, "I don't know. You're going to have to ask him. He didn't finish the game." Yeah, I love Steve Smith, man. Yeah. I swear to God. When he goes in, I can't wait for his. We're going to keep doing this show. We'll be 70 years old. God damn it. Put him in there because I want to make jokes about his speech.
Well, here's Steve Smith on the Mike and Mike show.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, it's not the Charlie Chaplin games. It's not a mime game. You know, we conversate, we talk. There's some people that, you know, take it to a different level or go places. And then also, too, you know, some guys got to do things that to excite themselves and get hyped up. And, you know, I talk, but I also have fun. And then we also conversate. You're sitting there, you know, as a wide receiver, you kind of get bored on that island outside. So, you know, you conversate. You talk about good cookie recipes for Thanksgiving, you know, did grandma making the good pies. Stuff like that.
Have you ever talked in a game to the point where you think it actually affected a player you were playing against?
I think a guy that I think not take pride in, not destroyed his career is Fred Smoot.
Fred Smoot destroy. Oh, how did you destroy his career? I take pride in that.
He was never the same after.
What did you say to him?
Nah, it really wasn't what I said. It was actually more what I did. I mean, he was coming out of Mississippi. He was considered a really good cornerback, and I thought he was. After coming in Bank of America Stadium, things just went downhill from there. I believe defensive players are just, their aptitude is just not as high as offensive players, you know, and maybe I'm biased, but that's just how I see things.
Do you realize that you just insulted me?
Yeah, correctly.
Well, you've insulted me.
I pretty much knew that before
he
came
knew
on.
It. Yeah, I knew it. That's right, Mike.
So, and you wonder why you haven't been on the show in 13
he's
years,
Fred
Steve?
Smooting you. Well, you're the new
he's
Fred
Smooting me. You're going to make me retire.
He was smooting me. He smooted me, Tom.
Let me make that into a verb. Hashtag smooted.
Oh, that is great.
And for those who don't know, we'd look it up. Steve Smith humiliated Fred Smoot of the Minnesota defense for a franchise record 201 yards and a touchdown in Carolina's 38-13 win that kept the Vikings winless on the road in 2005. Was that the game we're thinking of, Steve?
Yep.
Is that the one?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
That's right. I remember it.
He went French booting me. What are you doing, French booting me? What are you going to think about that, Greeny? We're going to play another commercial here in 30 seconds. Wonder. He French booting me. You know, it's an owner name, but you're not French booting me.
All right, so Fred Smoot. Now, what show is Fred Smoot on here when he's going to talk about this?
I don't know the name of the show. It's on 105.7 The Fan here near in DC.
Oh, in DC, okay.
And this is one of their pregame lead up shows. You know how
it is in
every city.
Sure.
You have four games of pregame.
Yeah.
You know, 4 hours of pregame leading up to the football game, and they do, I don't know, I guess an hour in the middle of it with Fred Smoot and this guy. But is it Holden Kushner? I don't know. It might be. I'm not sure who the other guy is. Sorry, I didn't do my homework. It's Fred Smoot, though.
Right, and he's going
to... On 105.7.
Yeah, and they're going to tell him what Fred Smoot said on the Mike and Mike show, and now Fred's going to respond.
Wait a minute. What is...
You know, that's what a sucker does when he doesn't know what to say.
It kind of reminds me of our Saints fan. All right, so here's the response.
Now there it is.
Yeah.
And he says that he ruined your career.
Yeah. Now, but I actually played 5 years after.
I was getting ready to ask you remember the time that you and Fred or you and Steve went head to head and what was even said?
The great part about this, and this is what I really do love, and I tell anybody this, for somebody to ruin your career once you meet a certain level like he's a certain level of receiver.
Right.
That means he's a grade A receiver. I have to say that about him.
I was getting ready to ask you, where would you rank as a D-back?
Yeah.
Where would you rank Steve Smith in the all-time receivers that you've covered?
He's a grade A receiver.
Okay.
I was a grade A corner. And here go the thing about
corner.
Grade A's cannot hurt grade A's.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that could hurt my career is a grade F.
Mm-hmm.
That means a guy with no name on the back of his jersey come and beat me to death.
Sure.
He could ruin...
What is he talking about?
A grade F.
You know, you can't get beat no by grade A there, Tom. You would not go get by no, don't be no Mushu Muhammad, no Joe Hobb, no. Back in them a day, I got to cover up Torby Holt. I got to cover Marvin Harrison. I'm not going to get rumbled down no by no Tim Alowen. We got Chab Jobson before they be turning into Chab Oates or Masenko. No. Day is grade A. If I get greets by grade F, like Todd Pimpston or Murphy is Cole, no. Can't be happening to this corner.
Did Fred Smoot ever make it to the Pro Bowl?
I don't know. He might have once or twice. I think he did once or twice.
When he called himself a grade A cornerback, I was like, I don't know about that.
Hey, Fred, if there's one thing you can ever say about Fred, he has never lacked for self-confidence in any situation. Right. He would say this about anybody. Jerry Rice, Megatron, they nothing to me. He has no lack. That's great for a cornerback. It really is. And I'll tell you what, Fred, you know, he'd get beat here and there with passes, but I like the way he tackled. He wasn't afraid of anything.
My career. But for me to go out and get beat by Jerry Rice,
It's to me to give up yours to Jerry Rice.
Right.
And my coach is going to look me in the face and say, you did a good job. Nobody can stop him.
Right.
All right? Well, for me to go get beat by Megatron, it's for me to go get beat by Megatron. Mm-hmm. All right? So
Megatron.
I don't get him on that. And the thing about Steve, me and him hate each other. If I run into Steve Smith in a giant right now, I'll fight Steve Smith in a giant right now. I don't care.
Whoa.
Me and him don't like each other.
So you
like
don't.
That.
You don't. You don't like Steve Smith.
We don't like each other. Okay. We've never liked each other. We came out of school together. Mm-hmm. We've ran into each other, and we just don't like each other.
So have you guys run into each other at other NFL events?
I don't, and I think he's a bully. Actually, I think he's a weak bully
he's
at
a
that.
Bully.
And I'll be honest with that. I don't care about saying it. He's Steve Incognito to me. Mm-hmm. I call him Steve Pinocchio Smith because he's a liar.
What?
He went on national TV and lied. He's a liar.
Right.
And I like to keep it real, and I like to be honest.
Right. He's a liar, John.
Steve Pinocchio Smith.
Steve Pinocchio, not Smith. He's Smith.
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 Steve Pinocchio Smith. I think he's a bully.
He's a bully, Tom. If I saw him in giant, I'd fight him in giant. Right? Clean up on aisle five.
I would fight him.
I done whooped his ass on the jelly and peanut butter aisle.
Oh, my God.
Fred is fired up. He's Steve Incognito to him. To him. He sounded like Urkel.
I know.
To me.
He did. I love that. But I love
Steve Pinocchio Smith.
Steve
Smith.
Pinocchio Smith.
Smith.
Smith. Steve Pinocchio Smith. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a dang fool liar.
Well, now he's going to say, he says, no, Steve Smith did not ruin his career.
This guy.
No.
This guy.
Oh, this guy, John.
This guy.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy. Right here.
This guy.
This guy. You mean, if you, am I funny to you, this guy?
What, I'm funny? I make you laugh?
Something about me's funny to you?
This guy. Right here.
You Steve Incognito to me.
This guy wants to sit here and say he ruined my career, and I played you 2 to 3 times after that, and you did nothing. Huh. I played you actually 10 times before that as a Redskin, and you're going to talk about the one time that you actually got me. I can say this about Steve Smith, and I can say this. My worst day in the NFL, he had a part in it. He's the guy that
beat me.
But I don't say he beat me. DeLone threw great passes.
DeLone!
I had DeLone. Ted Cottrell as a defensive coordinator call cover 3 all day and got me beat. So it's fine. I don't make excuses.
But he was.
But no, you didn't ruin my career. And yes, I'm happy and I'm still smiling.
Wait a minute.
And I'm good. And I'm fine, Steve Smith. So don't worry about it, Steve Incognito. You so soft.
You so soft. He said, you so soft.
Oh, my God. You so soft. You so soft.
Did he just say, I don't make excuses right after he made an excuse? He made several excuses. He blamed Cottrell as defensive coordinator. He blamed Jake DeLome. Oh, my God. Jake DeLome.
Put me in cover 3 all day and got me beat. But I ain't making no excuses.
Steve Smith did not ruin my career. Jake DeLome ruined my career.
It would Jake DeLome. Jake DeLome be throwing the bullet pass that day.
The combination of DeLome and Cottrell ruined my career. Steve Smith had nothing to do with it.
Nothing. It was the worst day of my career. I was absolutely terrible. But the dead Cottrell kept picking me in the cover 3 and making me get beat. But I ain't making no excuses, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't saying nothing like it was anybody else's fault.
Ted Cottrell is a defensive coordinator, called cover 3 all day, and got me beat.
All day.
So it's fine. I don't make excuses.
But you did. I love that.
He's so pissy about it. Too. Called it all day. Got me beat. You can just see his neck going back and forth, his fingers up, you know? He called it cover 3 all day.
Steve Pinocchio Smith.
Right.
Smith. This guy.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Jake DeLome was on fire. Right.
Now, here, you know, you heard him at the end. He called Steve Smith, what do you say? He was soft.
He was soft. He was soft.
Seriously, be honest now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I've seen Steve Smith on the field, but I've never been up close to him.
He's soft!
That's what I'm here to ask you.
I seen him jump on Ken Lucas. Ken Lucas, anybody will tell you
about
Ken
Lucas. But he's the one guy that you always see during a game that always wants to be in the mix.
He always wants to fight people. I'm going to tell you why he wants to fight people.
Could you physically take him?
Hey, this is what I'm telling him. Only reason he wants to fight people during a game is because we got helmets on, we got shoulder pads on, and somebody's going to rush and break it up. Referee, teammates, it doesn't matter. If put it like this, if I'm in a dark alley and I'm finna fight a couple guys, I don't want Steve Smith with me. He's nothing but a talker. He's soft. Come to Mississippi with that. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You come to Mississippi and we'll teach you a couple lessons out there. We'll show you how to be tough.
Oh.
He's not tough. He wants to fight everybody in front of everybody when he knows everybody going to break him up.
So he's a little, in your eyes, he's a little bit of a punk.
Yeah, he is. I'm fine with it. I've watched him do this. I just watched him try to fight Ty Lee for the New England Patriots. He jammed him to death and shut him down. Right. Like, it's to the point where that's what you're going to do. Like, you coming to fight, they're not tuning in for UFC fights. Mm-hmm. They're tuning in for NFL football.
Right.
And what he wants to do is show out in front of people, try to fight people while you got helmets on, while you got this on, you want to do this. Mm-hmm. You're soft, man. Let's be honest, man. I like to be honest, and I like to be a good person. He's soft. I don't really care about it.
Look, I don't. He may not have gotten 200 yards against Aqib Talib like he did against you, Freddie, but I don't think he got bitch slapped by Aqib Talib at all. I thought that That's Steve right. was won that battle all night.
Oh yeah, he beat his ass, man. He beat his ass all night long. I'll tell you what, Freddie was fired up.
He was.
There was too many things there to make
Ooh,
fun of.
Yeah, he had Steve Smith called him out, man. Brought up his worst game of his career. Yet pissed him off.
Didn't I do that, Steve Incognito, to me?
This what you're gonna do?
This what we gonna do?
That goddamn Ted Cottrell ruined my career. And Jake Delo and Ted Cottrell. Keeping me in cover three all day.
Oh, that's great. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Our team sucks, but we have some pretty good pregame, so I guess this is what I'm going to have to busy myself with for the rest of the year. We are one now of three teams that are out of the playoff race. Yay! And we're going to give the Rams the second pick in the draft.
And memo to Josh Sitton from the Packers. Dude, keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah, what a dumbass. You don't, I mean, look, I don't care. You know, I get it, rivalry and everything like that. But you got to recognize who you're yelling at over there. Those guys are junkyard dogs, and they don't really give a shit whether they're going to win the game or not. They are going to bust your mouth open. And they busted your mouth open and won the game.
They were all a bunch of scumbags. He called the linemen scumbags, the defensive line coach, the defensive coordinator, and the head coach of the Lions. He called them all scumbags.
I saw an interview with him after the game. Boy, I tell you what, he definitely had his tail tucked between his legs.
Uh-huh.
He definitely was quiet. Well, yeah, that was about the worst whooping I've ever been a part of. No, dumbass, that was about the worst whooping you ever started and got. However, whenever you got to talk about the Packers, you got to raise a glass to freaking Flynn's agent, Matt Flynn's agent, right? The most fucking brilliant guy in the NFL.
Hey, I hear that Aaron Rodgers may be done for the year.
I think didn't he sprain his mustache? Doesn't he know he can shave that thing now?
Let's get back to bashing referees.
Okay, yeah, please, let's get back to bashing referees, because this is not something that's new.
No.
Or if you've...
They took it to a new level this weekend. Here, listen to this.
Griffin takes the snap. He's got all kinds of time. Deep over the middle. Caught! Fred Davis at the 30-yard line.
Dropped it.
Dropped the football. Big lick by the Giants, and Fred couldn't hold on.
Great ball placement. Fred takes a hit, but that's a pass he's got to hold.
Is this a penalty?
It is fourth down. The previous play was a third down. He was short of the line of the game.
Right. Oh, wow.
They'd move the chains. They'd move the chains. And actually, it wasn't Logan Paulson's catch at first down. Well, this is all screwed up by the referees. It is fourth and inches.
That is unbelievable. On the play prior to that, Mike Shanahan went to the ref and said, I want a measurement. And the ref said, you don't need a measurement. It's a first down. They move the chains. So the Redskins, and I, you know, I have no reason to defend Washington. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a Washington fan, but damn it, they got screwed royally, because if it's third and inches, you're not going to throw the ball down the field like that. You're going to pick up the first down and then do what they did, what they thought it was first down, and throw it down the field.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, that's the thing. But the fact is, you know, I tell you what, everybody that listens to the show knows I'm a Redskins fan, but take that out of the equation here. This is happening all over the goddamn place, league-wide. It's outrageous. They don't know what they're doing, and it's, I don't know how it is that they can be so incompetent. Dude, this is the guy that almost put that dude for the Browns' eye out. Remember?
Oh, maybe he threw God. This they is threw hit, the flag triplet. That hit Zeus in the eye.
Yeah, the one that hit Zeus in the eye, and now he's dead, and they hushed up the autopsy, and I'm guaranteeing you that Triplett had something to do with it.
Oh, Jesus.
Silence it. Look, tell you what, this level of incompetence for the most popular, biggest, most valuable sports in the freaking country is inconscionable. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You got hockey stretching balls on Monday Night Football, and this dude over here can't count to four.
We didn't let the team go because we were stretching out balls.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous, man. Dude, if this was the... tell me how this is any worse than what the freaking replacement year. It's every game. Look.
Oh, I know.
You know, and they do things... It's what I've always said, inconsistency, right? Santana Moss gets flagged for a freaking... or he gets flagged for unsportsmanlike because he turned around and he pointed at the ref and he said something as he was walking away. Tom Brady sprints 30 yards downfield to call a ref's mother a big fat whore and nothing happens to him. You know, he does. He chases them downfield. I'm tired of it, man. It's just, amazing. It's affecting my enjoyment of the game. That and a 3-8, 3-9, 3-10 football team. 3-10?
It does, fuck, man. I don't know. Boy, speaking of Tom Brady, man, New England barely beat the damn Texans.
Oh, but the Texans, they knew the Patriots were cheating.
Jesus, here we
right.
go.
It's obvious.
Now, hey, just so everybody knows that John's not the one making that accusation. It's the Texans that are making the accusation.
Right, and as everybody knows, we are the only ones keeping that shit alive. So it's clear that the Houston Texans are fans of the show. Nice to know that you're listening, guys, but you should probably study the playbook a little bit more. You're going to get the first pick in the draft.
What's up, Ben Tate? Awesome game, dude.
Yep, not bad, not bad. Hey, man, first pick in the draft coming up. Who you want, huh? Oh boy. So
that game at Houston, Reliant Stadium, they had a couple of security guards there at Reliant Stadium after the game was over and they were done working. They happened to cross paths with Tom Brady and they got their picture taken with him.
Right.
They got fired.
Get the hell out of here. Really?
No, they got fired because it is stadium policy that security guards are not allowed to get their pictures taken with the players, but they were done working.
Dude, that's ridiculous. What is it? Some kind of you can't fraternize with the players?
No, and I understand that. You're security.
Yeah, if you're security, they're off work. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I understand the policy being in place while you're working, but if you're done working, no, that's ridiculous.
So is it different if you see some just random metrosexual wandering through the stadium dressed up like his girlfriend took him out to Macy's before the game? Is that is that something, maybe he's been to L.L. Bean or something. Is that, you just take a picture with him, is that okay? Or does it have to be somebody who has a name?
Oh, man.
Jeez. That's ridiculous.
That's great.
Tell you what. You know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I'm glad I don't work for anything close to the NFL. This freaking thing's a goddamn mistake. I love watching it, but you people at the top, you're really just pissing me off.
Oh, and by the way, Black Friday. I mean, seriously, I could not believe all the crap that went on Thanksgiving night Friday morning around this country. A cop being dragged from a car. I mean, women tasing each other while they're rolling around on the floor. Well, that's kind of hot. But anyway.
Do you see the women in that?
Well, no.
They're Walmart women. It's not very hot.
No. This was at a mall. This was at a mall.
Oh, I saw that in Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, in Philadelphia. Of course it was in Philadelphia in a mall. two wives started fighting, and they ended up on top of each other on the ground. The other one's using a stun gun on.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw the
you can find. Yeah, you
out.
Can see the video of the scene online. It was great.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page. Diamond Joe put it up. The Diamond Joe, the news hound of news hounds.
Right. I they're fighting over TVs at Walmart.
Pieces of shit TVs, too, that probably break while you're trying to get them out of that pile.
One woman spit on another woman's child. Man, you don't spit on somebody's child.
Why would you bring a child to this free-for-all?
Oh, my God. Well,
this is the question.
I don't know.
I mean, you're right. Nobody should spit on a child. But what the hell? Would you throw a child in the middle of a boxing match and say, oh, watch yourself there, Hoobie? What would you, I mean, what the hell, man? Why would you bring a child to a place that is well known to cause riots?
Bunch of fights at several Walmarts. There were others where there were people waiting in the parking lot that would rush up and grab somebody's big screen TV from them when they were carrying them out.
What was that movie that just came out recently where all laws were suspended for 24 hours and everybody could go do whatever the hell they wanted? And
oh, yeah, I saw it at the theater.
What was that? That's what this is, dude. It's thinning the herd, you know that,
exactly.
Right?
Just, yeah, exactly.
They're hoping these people tear each other apart, man.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the name of it was, but I was a little disappointed in it, and I guess they're making a second one that's supposed to be much better because that's going to drive me nuts. What the hell was the name of that movie?
Oh, I don't know, but I've got something to tell you, fine Americans out there. Black Friday sales were down, Tom. They were down across the board. However, Cyber Monday sales were up. And you know what that means? That means that the online retailers are taking yet another large bite out of the brick-and-mortar retailer, which means there's going to be even bigger and better sales, like Christmas Eve open until 1 a.m., open at Christmas morning 6 a.m., 95% off, kill your mother to get here. It's our society, Tom. That's the basis of our economy.
A 35-year-old man stabbed a 61-year-old man over a parking space in a Walmart parking lot. Man's arm was sliced to the bone.
It's Obama's fault. Obama, with his Obamacare, has cost everybody parking places.
At another Walmart, two women fought over a 23-inch television. One of the women,
23-inch television.
Yeah, she got taken down by the cops and handcuffed, and she would on top of the television, broke the TV. oh my God, it's ridiculous. Anyway, these stories went on and on and on and on, and Walmart, of course, downplayed all the fights that seemed to happen at their stores.
Right. Of course,
more than any other chain, and all over the country, and they called it one of the. Walmart says this is one of the safest Black Fridays we've ever had.
That's right, as compared to all the other Black Fridays that we don't keep track of. You know, look, they're not downplaying it, Tom. They're rolling back the violence.
Well, you know what's really funny is the people who stood in line for 2, 3, 4 days.
They get trampled.
But they stood in line that long to save how much?
Oh, dude, on shit that is no good. No good. The stuff they're giving you out for those doorbusters is not even going to be made anymore anywhere. You can't get parts for it.
My God. $900 TV for $400. I got news for you, folks.
Yeah.
If they could get $900 or even $600 for that television, they would not sell it to you for $400.
Nope.
That's how they're getting rid of crap, and they're making you want it. People didn't even ask you for this for Christmas. Nobody asked you for that TV for Christmas, but you got to go get it because look at this deal. I guarantee you in January, you'll be able to buy that television for about $250.
Dude, a 23-inch TV got that woman arrested. My wife went online tonight, right, because we were doing her office up and she wants a smaller TV. So we bought her a 23-inch TV, free shipping, $150. And you're going to tell me a trip to jail is worth $150?
Yeah, and what's funnier is you stand in line for four days so that you can get a television that you could buy for $150. You could earn the money in one day to buy a television. Right. Go get a job.
How little do you value your time that it's four days is worth $150 of your time?
Jeez, it's unbelievable. These people are stupid.
I'll tell you what. Well, on the way home from my mother's house, whenever we came through the woods and over the river, on from Thanksgiving, right? Now, we're driving home 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? So we're driving home all the way through when these Walmarts are starting to open up, right? I passed 3 Walmarts, 2 Kmarts, and a Target. They're fucking packed.
Yeah.
They're packed. There's cars everywhere, except at Kmart. You could probably get into Kmart relatively easily and get whatever they got on Doorbuster. But so you know what that tells me? People want to shop. So if you're in business, what are you supposed to do? Give them what they want or not?
I know. But you know what? They're gonna shop the next day regardless, man.
Right.
It's you know what? Thursday night, all that idiocy going on everywhere, man. I was eating pecan pie watching an awesome Steelers-Ravens football game with my family. That's what I do on Thanksgiving.
Right. If you wanted to, and you know what? The thing was, is I did the same thing, and then as I was driving home, I noticed I'd spent all day with the family, and I was driving home right at the same time that those stores were open. If I wanted to shop, I could.
I know.
So fuck them. Anyway, we're way late on time if we're going to do any emails.
Well, I was going to say one more thing. That woman who spit in that child's face.
Yeah.
It's probably the same woman in Alabama that shot the other woman because she wasn't upset enough about the Crimson Tide losing to Auburn.
Probably. Actually, you know what the sad part is? It's probably not. They're probably not even related.
I know.
You know. Ay, people. Let's see. I'm just going to run through some of these online petitions for here from our show day shout-out thread that everybody should take part in on Facebook. Joe Sturr says he's guessing Tom will be all about Ohio State today, and we have a nice little thing there. right, Stephen.
Glad we didn't disappoint.
Stephen Shields, our buddy, just had a baby, so congratulations to Stephen Shields and his new daughter. By the way, coming in live from the Twitter feed, Tom, we have Stuart Reeves. Everybody remembers Reevesy. And Reevesy has said that, hello, happy everybody. How's Eli is a mouth-breathing douchebag. Shonice Chloe says, hi. Look, you shouldn't be talking like that in front of Chloe. You can't be saying words like Eli in front of her. Come on. We're supposed to be her freaking online uncles here, man. We got to stop that shit. No saying Eli or anything Giants-related in front of your daughter. That is cruel.
He had a daughter, the other guy.
Yeah, Stephen Shields had a daughter, so congratulations.
Congratulations, but I'm going to tell you something, man. She's going to get to high school. And when she gets to high school, I want you to remember yourself in high school.
Yep. He will. He will. He'll kill somebody.
It's brutal. It is brutal having a teenage daughter, man.
All right. Daniel Schell, he starts off his post with war, which is a reference to Jim Rome, which means I will not read any more of it because, as we all know, play the jingle, Jim Rome sucks. Look, Jim Rome has been tired for as long as Jim Rome opened his fucking mouth. I'm sick and tired of him. War, whatever. Fuck him, you know what? You want to come on this show, you don't bring any Jim Rome junk and tell him I said so, that bastard. Apparently the Cardinals were crying about the officiating more than the Redskins were crying about officiating, but I was watching that game kind of off and on. I was red zoning it on Sunday, so I really didn't see a lot of the bad calls, but I'm sure there were plenty. I just don't know how much of a point he's got with any of that stuff because I didn't recognize any Philadelphia accents on those refs when I did have it on. let's see. Daniel Schell goes on further to ask why I hate Jim Rome. All right, if you have to ask.
I've got a letter.
Oh, you've got a letter. Tom has a letter, everybody. A letter.
From the jungle.
It's from the jungle.
God, and it says, Jim Rome, you suck.
I'm going to spend 45 minutes of the next hour promoting everything that I think I should promote.
War.
Fuck him. Fuck him. I'm telling you what, if I'm driving across country and you got nothing else to listen to and he comes across the airwaves, I will listen to White Noise. Fuck him. All right, let's see. Callum Brickham was Callum is these fucking people with hyphenated fucking names. What the hell are you?
All right, Freddie Smith.
he's got a hyphenated name. So you know that means his chin sticks out farther than his upper lip. Here's Callum. Looking forward to seeing Duane's reaction to the Saints getting a pounding ball of Seahawks.
There was no sign of Duan today.
Not yet. He's probably definitely hiding a little bit there. Let's see. We have one that came through the old-fashioned email machine here. And let's see. That came from our buddy Will Mitchell. Just going to wedge myself in here for a new weekly question for the two of you to quickly give your opinion on. Ready? Here we go, Tom. We're going to play football. You're both co-GMs of an imaginary expansion team during the applicable era. Boy, this sounds complicated already. It's 2006. You've made offers to Reggie Wayne, Charles Woodson, Steve Hutchinson, Drew Brees, Adam Vinatieri, and you've had positive responses to all of them. So the ball is on our court. However, you have cap room to sign either Woodson, Wayne, Hutchinson, or Brees, or Vinatieri. Okay, you know what? Let's move on to the contest. That's a lot easier.
Well, wait a minute. What is the question?
Oh, the question is... you got to do this earlier in the show, Will. Will Mitchell wrote this stuff, man. If you have cap room to either sign Woodson, Wayne, and Hutchinson, or Drew Brees and Adam Vinatieri. If you go with Brees and Vinatieri, your starting wide receivers will be Peter Warwick, fresh off an 11-catch, 180-yard season in Seattle. He's top cornerback will be 75-year-old Dale Carter, who's not even in the league because he's out for drugs. And my left guard will be some below-average scrub at best.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, this doesn't even seem realistic. I mean, you look at Drew Brees. He's got Jimmy Graham. He's got Marcus Colston, and you know he's got all these other players. I mean, you got more cap room than that.
Well, wait a minute now.
What do I have? Do I have a running back? Do I have a defense? I need more information.
All right. The owner will demand we go with one of the Grammaticas as our kicker. I don't know why we would deal with that. And he also demands that we would sign Vinny Testaverde to start and tutor whoever is available. So our owner's obviously an idiot and probably has an Arkansas accent. And he's probably, Jesus Christ. All right. Here's the first thing I have to know before we go any further on this. All right. Ready? Will, you have one question, Tom. Go.
I know what I would do.
What would you do?
I would quit.
Punt. We're going to punt.
Yeah. All right, we got anything else?
Yeah, we got to hit the contest. We had the audio contest last week, and we got one correct answer. Who was it? Let's go ahead and play the audio from last week.
If you're a man, you'll do it.
So we got a few correct answers for that. Of course, that is Sam Weish of the Cincinnati Bengals at the time. One of the correct answers is my son, Max Taman, who, by the way, I might add, is with Patuxent High School, whose football team is going to state finals on Saturday, which means
awesome.
Yeah, Max gets to perform on the field at halftime because he's in the band. So that'll be pretty cool. He'll be at M&T Bank Stadium, which means at least one winning team will be on that field this week from Maryland. And let's see. Here's this week's contest. Go ahead. This is somebody that you should know if you are any kind of football fan. Hit it.
You can't push the foot up in there. You got to run it.
There it is. Who's that? All right, one more time.
You can't push the foot up in there. You got to run it. You got to run it.
Very good.
There you go. All right, there you go. So on the Facebook page, come on. Give me your answers on the thread there, or send them Twitter with me with at Bang Radio Hour. Send them to me through the Twitter. Tell me who it is. Everybody gets to go in the hopper to win this beautiful certificate of nothing, courtesy Bang Radio Hour.
Very good.
And we'll even pay for the shipping to get it to you.
All right.
There we go. That's it for this week.
And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons.
BangCartoon.com. Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com, order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our pad thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.